Today is the 15th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you today as we gather yet again and move forward together on our journey, the journey through this year together, the journey through the Bible this year together. And we have navigated our way. Obviously, if we're here, we kind of know where we're at. We have navigated our way all the way into the book of 1 Kings. We have moved through the establishment of the monarchy with King Saul, then King David, then King Solomon. And then we have watched the kingdoms divide into two, the northern and the southern kingdoms. And we have watched the northern kingdom be led into full-blown idolatry by their king, King Jeroboam. And so let's pick up the story. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 1 through 15, verse 24 today. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became ill. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Go, disguise yourself so you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam. Then go to Shiloh. Ahijah the prophet is there, the one who told me I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves of bread with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife did what he said and went to Ahijah's house in Shiloh. Now Ahijah could not see. His sight was gone because of his age. But the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming to ask you about her son, for he is ill, and you are to give her such and such an answer. When she arrives, she will pretend to be someone else." So when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? I have been sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I raised you up from among the people and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me. Because of this, I am going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns dung until it is all gone. Dogs will eat those belonging to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds will feed on those who die in the country. The Lord has spoken. As for you, go back home. When you set foot in your city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will be buried, because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in whom the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good. The Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the family of Jeroboam. Even now this is beginning to happen. And the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land that he gave to their ancestors and scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they aroused the Lord's anger by making Asherah poles. And he will give Israel up because of the sins Jeroboam has committed and has caused Israel to commit." Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah. As soon as she stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, as the Lord had said through his servant the prophet Ahijah. the other events of Jeroboam's reign, his wars, and how he ruled are written in the book of the Annals of the Kings of Israel. He reigned for 22 years and then rested with his ancestors, and Nadab, his son, succeeded him as king. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up his jealous anger more than those who were before them had done. They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones, and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. There were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. The people engaged in all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. He carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards bore the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. As for the other events of Rehoboam's reign, and all he did, are they not written in the book of the Annals of the Kings of Judah? There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And Abijah, his son, succeeded him as king. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijah became king of Judah. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather had been. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him, and by making Jerusalem strong. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam throughout Abijah's lifetime. As for the other events of Abijah's reign, and all he did, are they not written in the book of the Annals of the Kings of Judah? There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam, and Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. And Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his ancestors had made. He even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother, because she had made a repulsive image for the worship of Asherah. Asa cut it down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Asa then took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace. He entrusted it to his officials and sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tibramon, the son of Hezion, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. "Let there be a treaty between me and you," he said, "as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. He conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Bet-Maacah, and all Kinneret, in addition to Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and withdrew to Tirzah. Then King Asa issued an order to all Judah. No one was exempt, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using there. With them, King Asa built up Geba and Benjamin, and also Mizpah. As for all the other events of Asa's reign, all his achievements, all he did, and the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? In his old age, however, his feet became diseased. Then Asa rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of his father David. And Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king. Acts 10, 1-23. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. Psalm 133, A Song of Ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Proverbs 17, 7 and 8. Eloquent lips are unsuited to a godless fool. How much worse, lying lips to a ruler? A bribe is seen as a charm by the one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn. Okay, so in the book of Acts today, we began a story that we will continue over into tomorrow's reading, but what we are reading right now is one of the most monumental things. It's given in this kind of understated way, but it's one of the most monumental things that happen in the New Testament. And like I said, it's going to take a couple of days for us to move through this story, but we began it today, and we began by meeting this person named Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman. He is a centurion. He has 100 men under his authority. He is a Roman soldier. He is a Gentile. He is unclean, and to most of the Hebrew people, he is a part of the problem. However, he is a God-fearing man. He is well respected by people. He gives to the poor. He loves God. And he is talking to God when he receives a vision. And in this vision, he is told to send for Peter in Joppa. It's not a terribly far distance away. It's very easy in a car today, but Joppa is like sort of the coastal suburbs of Tel Aviv. Whereas Caesarea Maritima, where we're talking about here, is north of there, also on the Mediterranean coast. And so Cornelius has this vision to send down to Joppa to find Peter, and he sends some of his people to go and do just that, sends them south to Joppa to find Peter. Meanwhile, Peter's having a vision of his own. He's on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. And he receives a vision, and in his vision, he sees this sheep come down with animals that are forbidden, are unclean. And in this vision, he is told to kill and eat. In other words, eat these unclean animals. And of course, he responds by saying, I would never do such a thing. I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. I wouldn't do that. And then in this vision, he hears a voice tell him that he should not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And then Peter gets instructions that men are coming to look for him and that he should go with them. Meanwhile, the men that were sent to Joppa to find Peter arrive and sort of explain the scenario. And that's where we leave off today, but we leave off today with some things to think about. Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a Gentile, receives a vision to send for Peter. Peter also receives a vision about clean and unclean. And then he is told to go back to the home of Gentiles, into a Gentile home where he is not supposed to be fraternizing, where he's not supposed to be mixing. Something is going on here. Like, so even from this portion of the story, we can see something is going on here because this isn't quite adding up what is happening. And what is actually happening is monumental, is an awareness that is monumental to the Christian faith going forward until this very day, and really changes the complexion of the church going forward after this event. So it's a pretty monumental thing that's happening here. And we will continue that story tomorrow. So Father, we love you and we thank you for the scriptures and we thank you for the stories and the scriptures and the people that we get to meet and all of the different facets and nuances of the human heart and human life on planet Earth that we get to engage with as we engage with the scriptures. And we thank you that we see you revealing yourself in every conceivable way, in all of the different cultural contexts, throughout all of the thousands of years that we read of in the scriptures. We see you revealing yourself as you continue to do today. And may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying and teaching and where you are leading. And we pray this in the mighty and victorious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is indeed where you find out what is going on around here. Alternatively, the Daily Audio Bible app makes that really convenient and puts that and so much more in the palm of your hand. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your device. It's a free app, so just download that. Take the journey from there. And yeah, while you're checking out, check out the different sections like the community section. There are links to get connected on social media there. It is also where the prayer wall lives, which is a resource available to the community here for us to come together and hear from one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and be encouraged by each other as we pray for one another. And so that can be found in the community section. So certainly check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you humbly, especially as we navigate through summertime. Thank you humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top, or there are a number of numbers you can dial. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 442036 088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And even if the earth be removed, he's able to lift us above the rubble with the strength of his powerful right hand, fully equipping us to stand, knowing that all his ways are just and come from above, and nothing can separate us from his wonderful love. Nothing can pluck us from out of his hand and from the foundations of the earth that was part of the plan. A plan of redemption, a plan of salvation, a plan that creates in me adoration as well as elation. For every day I see his mercies made new, and every day I see his love for me proven true. The fact that I live and I move and I breathe are more than adequate proof of the grace I receive. And it makes me say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And ever since I've embraced his love and plan, my life has not been the same. I read his word daily, I fast and I pray, and I share the good news with all those who pass my way. And even though I still have problems, afflictions, and stress, I feel fully equipped for any and all tests. Because God reassures us that even if the mountains were to crumble and fall into the sea, that there's nothing in this life can separate his love from you and me. So take courage, for Jesus has overcome the world, and he reassures us that we can do the same. Keep the faith, stay in the word, and keep giving praises to God's holy name. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Annette and Allison from Oklahoma City. Haven't heard from you lately. Missed the sound of your voice. And a shout out to Mark Creef down under and your mother Lynn.
I'm calling today to pray for Ethan from Texas. Ethan, I feel you and I know what you're going through. And I come today in prayer standing with you to give you the strength, I pray, to Heavenly Father, to break the chains that are holding you back, to let go and let God, to release the anxiety, release the fear, release the pain, and to let you know that God is with you, that God is with you even when you feel like you're taking two steps forward and then all of a sudden you're taking five steps back, that God is with you. And I ask you to help you to realize that you are not letting anyone down, that you are a wonderful, God-gifted child of God, and God has a plan for you. I ask you, God, to bring you clarity, bring you wisdom, bring you direction and understanding of the majesty of his blessings in your life, to give you the ability to open your eyes and open your ears to hear the majesty and the love in your life, and give you the clarity needed to make the right choices at the right time, to enable you to make the right choices, to be the best that you possibly can be, but also know that you won the test because you've given it to God. That is the first thing towards wisdom, is giving your problems to God, and you have done that. And rest in that. Let go, let God, and you will see the freedom that you're looking for. You have the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Carpe diem, driver. Help enable others to have a truly blessed.
Hello, Brother Ethan from Texas. You are not alone, brother. And I want to pray for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray that he gives you the strength, the wisdom, and the understanding to help you let go of the things in your life that are not of God. Brother, you are not alone. You have all of us. You have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who will be there for you. Keep strong to your faith and you will see those changes. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with himself, restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. Stay strong, my friend, and pray.
Hi, Asia from the City of Angels. This is Christopher from the Pretzel City. And after hearing your call about the woman you encountered who had lost her child, I just wanted to commend you, not only for what you did right then, but the fact that you asked God for this opportunity and he trusted you with something big. And that speaks to where you are as his servant. And I just want to encourage you to keep going and keep looking for these opportunities. And he's going to make changes to the world through you that last for eternity. Well done. Take care.